verse number 7 we read that the Lord said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Somewhere in the epistle of James, I think, or maybe Jude, I think it's the epistle of James, we read that to some of the believers it was written that they ask and receive not. And they don't receive because they don't ask. When they ask, they receive not because they ask amiss. And here we read that if we abide in Christ and his words abide in us, we shall ask whatever we will, whatever we desire, whatever is necessary for our spiritual life, for our service and our ministry in Christ, and it shall be done unto us. When we ask what we believe that is right, and it is right that we ask the good things and the gifts and the blessings and all that the Lord said that he is going to give us, that he said that we should have, and we ask and we receive not, it's only because of one thing. We have resistance in our heart. We either don't believe what we say, or we think we believe. There is resistance in our heart. Remember when a father came or a man came and asked healing for his son, and the Lord said, if ye see not signs, ye believe not. And the father didn't say it's not the truth, because he knew it was. When Thomas, one of the 11 disciples, saw the Lord after the resurrection, and the Lord said to him, come and touch my wounds, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And then the Lord answered to him, after thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet did believe. So we see that there is different level of faith. There is habitual faith that often is not a real, true faith. Everybody else is doing that, so we do it also, without thinking whether that is right or wrong. Here the Lord said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, if we live this gospel that we read and believe, if we really believe and we live according to that faith, what we ask, we shall receive. And he told us what to ask. Not what we shall eat, what we shall drink, not clothing, not even shelter, but the kingdom of God. If we ask and see wholeheartedly, with true faith, the kingdom of God, if we don't receive exactly what we ask, we will receive something better than what we ask. That's how good our Lord is in his promises. Herein is my Father glorified, verse number 8, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We see that who believes the gospel, the Lord said, he will go in or come in and get out of the world, out of sin, and get in Christ, in the faith of Christ. Once we are free from sin, we are not left emptied of sin and filled with nothingness. No. The Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. And here we have already a whole list of fruits, and some more are following in this chapter, and all over through the Bible we find the fruits of the Spirit. And I hope it's not too much to repeat again. As many fruits of the Spirit that we see in the ministry of Paul the Apostle, just as many we can see in the ministry of Noah. Regardless of the number of the people that will answer to the calling of the gospel, regardless of the number of the people that will or will not believe, the fruits of the Spirit are in our hearts, in our lives. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And the Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. That way we are the Lord's disciples. It's not just being free from sin. It's also being busy in His ministry, seeking His will and delighting in doing His will. Not like the servant that brought back the one pound that he received, and he said that the master is too difficult and it's a fearful thing to serve him, so he didn't serve him. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Now this is rather difficult verse to explain. How did the Lord love His disciples? We read in the songbook about His meekness, about His modesty, how humble He was, and how He lowered Himself to the death on the cross. And that is the truth. That is the fact. But then look how He dealt with His disciples. Peter, in all honesty and ignorance of his heart, said to the Lord on the way to Jerusalem, God forbid, that will never happen to thee. Peter rebuked the Lord, saying, thou wilt never surrender into the hands of the sinful man. Now, Peter rebuked the Lord. What was the answer? That meek and humble Savior, the one that lowered him to the death and to the level of dying on the cross, he turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not what is God's, but physical, material, earthly. As the Father hath loved me, how did the Father love His Son? What kind of love is that to punish the righteous one for the unrighteous? Who can understand that love? The Father loved the Son and bestowed on Him the power, the anointing to fulfill the Father's will. That is the love of the Father. The Father sent His Son, and the task was so enormous, so awful, so big, that no one else could have done that but the Son of God. So on one hand, on one side looking, from one side, we see that the Son was given the highest honor. No one else was worthy, as we read in the Revelation. No one was found worthy to take the book from the one that was sitting on the throne, the book that was sealed with seven seals, to break the seals and to open the book and to fulfill the Father's will. So that was the manifestation of Father's love, to give to the Son that work to accomplish. He also gave Him all the ability, the power, the wisdom, the strength, the purity, holiness, just everything that only God can give to the Son of God. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. The love of the Lord was given to His disciples that they could continue in His love. And then He explained how. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. No one can speak the truth and say, I love God, if he or she is not keeping His commandments. It just doesn't work. Continuing in the love of God means continually striving to fulfill His commandments, to do His will. And when we do His will, then we feel His love. Sometimes, when the stress is so strong, the threat of the enemy so visible, we might, for the moment, lose the feeling, the awareness of His love. But if you keep his commandments, it's only by his love. There is no way of keeping his commandments without his love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Now, let's think about David on the roof of his house, walking idle, sleeping throughout the day and then waking up in the evening. A neglected life. A life that is in danger to be misused and abused by Satan. And David looks down and sinful desires are filling his heart. If he kept the commandment of God, he would have abided in the love of God. He wouldn't have entered into sin. So when there is temptation, keep the commandment of God, and ye shall abide in his love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, when we keep his commandments, when we remain in his love becomes overwhelming. It erases, takes away all the other feelings. When we are in the love of the Lord, the temptations are weak. In perfect love, there is no temptation. Testing, yes, but no temptation. Just as in perfect love, there is no fear. There is always that fear of God. But there is no fear, no worry, no fear that God will allow something to happen that will not be consistent with his love. So when we have fear, when we have worries, doubts, that's like saying to the Lord, I don't think God will be able to stand up to this task that is ahead of me. Questioning or doubting his ability. Or it could be another thing that might be even worse. Thinking that by our own strength we have to go through all of the things that are ahead of us. In the verse number 11 we read, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. What was the joy of our Lord? Do we remember one place when the Lord was rejoicing in his spirit and he said, I praise thee, O Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, for revealing this truth to the simple ones, to the low ones, to the small ones, and hiding that away from the lofty and proud in this world. So his joy is that we believe his word, that we keep his commandments, that we understand, know the will of the Lord, and do it. How often in our faith, in our journey through this life, we know what the will of the Lord is. And we know we should do something about that. It's clear what should be done, and somehow we just cannot make it. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. When we do the Father's will, and we know we did it, when we feel that he is doing his will in us, it's a joy. And that joy is the pretaste of the heavenly glory. When the disciples received the power from on high on the day of Pentecost, and they were preaching in different languages, and again, I'd like to say that I don't think that they were standing in a group. Everyone talking in a different language and keeping everyone else from understanding anything. They must have been separated by some distance so that each group of people could listen to their own language. For our God is not God of confusion and disorder. When they were talking and witnessing the sacrifice and the resurrection of our Lord, the way of salvation, the means and ways of redemption, some of the people listening were mocking. And they said that the disciples are drunk. The Apostle Peter was not intimidated by that. But he stood up, probably above all the others. And he proclaimed the gospel loudly and clearly. He confronted the mockers. And he told them, you better listen carefully, for these are not drunk. Early in the morning was not the time for drunkards. But this is the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit, proclaiming the gospel of God for your salvation. When we witness for the Lord, when we do His will, then we have that joy. And that joy is the greater, the closer we are to the Lord. And then he said in the verse number 12, this is my commandment. Now, in the verse number 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Verse number 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, we could think, well, that means if we abide in His love, we will love one another. If we keep His commandment, we shall abide in His love. Whichever sequence we take of these two verses, it always comes out very good. Because it's the same truth, the two sides of the same fact. This is His commandment, that we love one another as He has loved us. How did He love us? When Peter again said, thou shalt never wash my feet, he just will not allow that humility to his teacher, to his master. And the Lord said, if I wash thee not, you see, you feel the change of the words that he used. The Lord did not say, if I wash not thy feet, thou hast no part in me. He said, if I wash thee not, indicating that that washing will last throughout the life and pilgrimage of one believer here in this world. And if one will not allow his feet to be washed by the Lord, he is not washed at all. And if one is washed by the Word of God, he will appreciate that foot washing every day. This is His commandment, that we love one another as He has loved us. When Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet, the Lord did not say, well, maybe some other time. I'll leave Peter some time and maybe later on I will wash Peter's feet. No. When the Lord is demanding, He is also commanding. When He is pleading, that's also commandment. And it's very good that Peter left his standpoint and joined the Lord. That's the way how the Lord has loved us. He loved us with that unshaken, unmovable, uncompromising love to keep the commandments of the Father. His love was also gentle, patient, and kind. But His love is, above all, firm. Very strong. Now this is His commandment, that we the same way love one another. We might be too weak for that. What shall we do? He gave us a commandment. If we feel that we are not able, and surely we are not able, to fulfill that commandment to its fullest measure. What shall we do? We read this song number 33 in the beginning of this service, and I think verse number 2 says, if love's bonds are yet too feeble, if imperfect they have been, pray to Jesus with deep fervor till he strengthen them again. When the Lord gives us a commandment, if we tell him that we just will not do it, it's rebellion. If we ask strength, his help, to do his will, it's godliness. And he will answer that prayer. Then he says how he loved his own. Greater love hath no man than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. Now this we can understand in two ways. Sometimes we might feel that it would be easy, or at least easier, to pass through a difficult persecution and lay down our lives and then not live in this world anymore. Well, if we live every day in Christ, then that might be easier. But if it's difficult for us, if it is impossible to live day by day in Christ, we are not ready to lay down our life. It would be much more difficult. We would not make it. Only those that live in Christ are ready and willing to die in Christ. How did the Lord lay down his life for his friends? He not only died for his friends, he lived for them. He not only lived for them, he died for them. So the true love of Christ is living in Christ and be willing, if he appoints to us, to die for him. Then he says that ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. That's the true friendship. He didn't say that we are his friends if he's going to do whatsoever our will is. We are not invited to use our Lord as our servant, even though he was a servant for our salvation, to fulfill the Father's will. And yet, he is not here, and he did not come, he did not live and die on this earth for the purpose to satisfy human will. Not at all. Who could ever do that? Every human has a different will. The Father has only one will. And as enormous, as great that task for our Savior was, he was able and willing to do it, because the Father has that perfect will. The true friendship to the Lord is full obedience. And the Lord is not condemning the weak ones that cry to the Father for help and strength to do his will. But he is not accepting the strong ones that willingly reject his will. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Is this consistent with the practice that in so many churches we can find? Are they willing and ready to answer all the questions that friends would have? The servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. It is the duty, the ministry of each believer, to be ready and willing to answer each reasonable question concerning spiritual life, the Word of God, the will of the Lord, the teaching of the Gospel. And if we know not the answer, we know where to find it, in this book and upon our knees. That's where the answers are. And the Lord has all the answers. And even telling to a friend or to a stranger, a visitor, but especially to a friend, telling openly and freely, I know not the answer, let us seek the answer. Even that is much better than to say, you just keep praying and the Lord will reveal to you what is necessary for you. Covering hypocritically our insufficiency is not a good example. If you know not the answer, say it. I know not the answer, but I will look for it. And we will seek it together and pray to the Lord, and the Lord will tell us all things that he has heard from his Father. And then another verse. It's just an enormous abundance of teaching in these verses. Verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. When the Lord went by the Sea of Gennesaret, and he saw Peter and Andrew, fishers, and he invited them. He has chosen them to be his disciples, but they had also chosen him to be their master. They could have chosen not to go, if they could. And yet the Lord says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. What did he say? Well, when the Lord created heaven and earth, and we read in the beginning of John's Gospel that in the beginning was the Word, and everything is created by and through that Word. There is no creation at all, no existence of anything that was not created by him. And then we read in the Revelation that the Lamb was slain since the foundations of the world. He has chosen his disciples. If we have chosen him, we will always have doubts and fears, because our choice is not safe. We are imperfect. If we realize that he has chosen us, then we can fully trust in him and rely on all of his promises and lean wholeheartedly upon this Word of God, the foundation of our faith. But he said also, not only that he has chosen the disciples, he also ordained the disciples that they should go and bring forth fruit, and that their fruit should remain. You see, if we think that we are chosen and we have no desire to bring forth fruit, or we think that we have desire but we do no efforts in that direction, it's a good question if he has chosen us or if we have accepted his choice. But when we know that he has chosen us, then we should know also this, that he has ordained us, that we also bring forth fruit. What kind of fruit? The fruit that remains. Not the short-lasting earthly fruits. Not earthly joys, earthly pleasures. Not to mention earthly lusts. But spiritual joy, spiritual peace, faith that will last until the last moment, until it will be replaced with seeing the things that we have believed. Love that will last throughout eternity. Lasting fruits. The Lord has ordained his disciples to go. Where to go? How to go? To walk in Christ and bring forth fruit, that spiritual fruit of peace, love, and joy. Zeal for the Lord. Proclamation of the gospel. Godly example. What that gospel means to us. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And then again, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Now, in closing for today, I would just like briefly to make a review. Verse number 3 and 4. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse number 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse number 17, these things I command you, that ye love